I'm the healer, blood's fellow witch killer. Healer, healer!
Alright, fucking God help us on this one. Love you so much!
Welcome to the unofficial King Gizzard podcast, the show about the best band in the world. Question, Mark? I'm Captain Shipwreck.
And I'm Professor John P. Weatherclock. And you, Captain, are in Japan, which is why you sound so distant.
Hi, arigato gozaimasu.
Oh, I know. Every day, all the time.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about the second part, as we split it, second part of the Australian tour for King Giz, December 2025. It's December in the Northern Hemisphere. I don't know what it is down there, but we know that Giz played two rock shows and three orchestra shows.
Checks out.
That we're going to talk about.
Let's please, champing at the bit. Do you have lyrics for the episode?
No. Do you? I did. I forgot to write them down.
What harm could a mere mortal like you do? I am the golden wolf, and you are the caribou. My hand is a knife, and my right is a fork. I will pull you apart like a butcher pulls pork. Altered Beast 2.
Of course it is. Well, that is quite a sweet that we're going to talk about.
So sweet. Like pulled pork. like a well-sauced pulled pork.
Yeah. So tender. So let's get to it.
Yeah. December 7th, Fortitude Music Hall in where?
Brisbane.
Yeah, but Mianjin, or as yes, they say, Brisbane.
Mianjin, Brisbane.
Mianjin. Cool.
It looked like a pretty normal modern theater, about 3,000 people, wraparound balcony, no seats. Nice.
Did not seem to have sold out, also, at least until just before or something.
Oh, you were checking?
I was checking, and there was some suggestion, from what I understand online, that the reason that there were two rock shows in Sydney was that I guess the Friday did sell out, and then they added Thursday, or the Thursday sold out, and then they added Friday, and then the Brisbane crowd was hoping that this show would sell out so that Giz would add another night, but it didn't, and so they didn't. I saw a sign on the wall on, I was going to say social media, but Reddit is its own beast, isn't it? And that said no moshing or crowd surfing written on the wall. And I wonder if this is like an Australian culture thing. I see so much less of this at these shows, and maybe it's much more common for venues to say, don't do that. I've never seen that at an American venue.
By Australian culture, you mean legal system, maybe? And it's not like no one was doing it, because they were doing it at every show, at least a few people.
That's right. Yeah, agreed. Every show. In fact, even one of the orchestra shows.
Sure, yeah. At the Sydney Opera House, some people crowd surfing in a group of four or five. It's a really cute video. Over on the side, on the aisle.
Yeah, it kind of looks good like stuff. The opening scene of Jesus Christ Superstar. Please.
My headline for this show is King Gizzard Presents the Backflip Guy and the Lizard Wizard.
I can't improve on that.
This show was pretty unhinged. We had some pre-roll leading up to the actual concert. Some wandering around backstage with Cookie and Lucas. Some rehearsal, Cavs practicing Flamethrower on the drums. I mean, you can't not know it's a Flamethrower when he plays it.
Yeah, I'm not good at recognizing drum stuff, and I wrote the same note down. Holy shit, that's definitely Flamethrower.
Definitely is. Yeah. Some footage of the line in front of the theater, a guy with a KGLW tattoo in his inner lip, which is cool and upsetting to me.
God, it's awful and wonderful, and fucking don't do that.
Did you catch any of... Did you catch any of Leif Carlton speaking before the show?
Yes, his welcome to country. Give it up for Uncle Leif.
Uncle Leif told a story of where he met Michael Jackson.
Twice-ish?
Yeah, saw him in 1970 and then saw him again in 1980. And Michael said to him, it's a crazy world, isn't it? which kind of does sound like something Michael Jackson would say to a fan.
Yeah. And he said, yeah, because I'm fucking meeting you, mate. Yeah, sweet. Interesting show. Oh, you have some drip. Oh, I do too. Let's talk. What do you got?
I have some drip. Yes, I'd like to hear your drip of the day for this one.
So Nuclear Kira, who we'll mention again later, was wearing, I found out later, her creation, which was this like striped, like Mexican style, like cloth poncho with a Nonagon logo and King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard along the bottom hem, or maybe it was just KGLW actually. But it was badass. She had created quite an ensemble. And so I'm going extracurricular, going outside of the band. But I just was really struck. That's quite a number she's put together.
We'll have to talk to our producers whether that's allowed. I'm for it.
Good, thank you.
I didn't even think about it, thinking outside the box band. I guess then Ambrose with a runner-up with a Cookie Dog 69 shirt that had been modified.
Sleeveless
and shortened. There was
Crop-topped. Was he showing yes. Midriff?
Sort of, sometimes. Just above his white painter's pants.
I also have that here as runner-up. I have a third runner-up, an honorable mention, which is blue tape on Joey's guitar that says Dickhead.
Why didn't I see that? Oh, man. I did see another sticker on Joey's guitar, which was Joey playing guitar on his guitar.
Too obvious to ask if there was a sticker on that guitar.
Zoom, enhance. Zoom, enhance.
Enhance.
The show started with Microtonal.
Yeah.
Minimum Brain Size, Sue on the Banana again.
Few bickies too many.
Well, what is that? What's a bicky?
I think it means biscuits, and I think it refers to someone who's too rich for their own good, or maybe our own good.
This is to all the people who had it coming. A few bickies too many. I'm so lonely. It's to all the people who said they couldn't hack it. I'll open their eyes.
Hympathetic bro, sympathetic towards men, weaker than you know. Pissing on a flame, standing on a ball. A reference to urinating from a precarious position. Remind us of anyone we know.
Oh, man. I thought I was going to get away. We're going to get through this episode without any piss talk.
Urine.
Never. Oh, Piss Tour 25. Doom City was next. That's when I noticed Joey's microtonal guitar has a sticker of him playing that guitar.
Oh, a picture of him playing. Wait, his guitar has a picture of him playing which guitar?
The guitar he's playing.
I see. The red microtonal?
Yeah, that's right. You got it.
Cool. Neat. I write this down. I think I'll die when Doom City air this way comes. He in Empyrean breathes from his mouth and over tongue. Empyrean, I guess. Empyrean. I guess it refers to like an Aristotelian cosmology, like a heaven described by Aristotle. Which is like the highest heaven for some reason, and later incorporated into Dante's Paradiso in part 3 of the Divine Comedy. Anyway, it sent me down a rabbit hole trying to figure out what the fuck they are talking about.
I mean, that's almost every song. There's something like that. I really did look up Bickies also.
Also, of course you did.
Doom City was followed by... Kira.
Yeah, with her.
Kira yes. was in the front on along the rail. She had a double-sided sign. It was in the shape of the flying microtonal banana and had all the things, pickups and strings. And the other side said
nuclear fusion. That's right. With her flying microtonal banana sign, as Joey described it. He said Michael Batana, and then Joey mentioned his friend Michael Cabana.
Michael Cabana, that's right.
It's amazing.
For context, the person in the front has them flying Michael Batana.
Show us the sign.
Michael Batana.
Get over here.
Come up.
What
okay.
are you waiting for?
Help this person over. The person
get
there.
The
get them over the barrier. Michael Batana banana.
Michael Batana banana. Steps over there. Woo.
It's my friend Michael Cabana.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite microtonal song live?
Yeah, I do. And it's what they played next.
Yeah. is that wrong? Is that bad?
Is that wrong? Am I a bad person?
Look, I mean, it's just like lyrically, it's pretty simple. But goddamn, KGLW outro live is unbelievable. Fuck. Why is it so good? Tell me.
I don't know. It's, I think you've used the word primal before to describe this song, and I think it's right. It's just nasty, and even within the fact that we're hearing a different scale, I feel like Stu especially is pushing the bounds of what should even be allowed. In that scale, they're bending notes from a microtonal scale, and it's just so gnarly and hard and slow. And so it's like this microtonal doom metal miracle. And yeah, I fucking love that song so much.
It is a miracle. The crowd was going completely nuts, mental, whatever they say down there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they don't say mental. I'm sure they have a thing for it. They call it crackers. Bicky. We're going Bicky for it.
There was actually a lot of bogan banter in the show. And I didn't understand some of what they were saying later.
No, not at all. We went down a pretty deep rabbit hole about cricket players. I think Australia has a team. So.
Yes, they do that. KGLW was followed by Perihelion. We almost forgot what a metal Perihelion was like, because the last three times it's been a Nathan song.
Right, I can move this, but I'm not going to move this note. I'm sorry, just because in the lead up here, they did mention we've got a foreshadowing to backflip guy who they noticed a guy holding up a sign, and I just wanted to point out that Stu mentioned that he used to do backflips, but he kept splitting his eyebrow open, whatever the fuck he's talking about. And then yeah, Perihelion. God bless.
I think he was landing on his face.
Yeah.
He was probably, yeah, hit.
You don't think he means it, right? I kept splitting my eyebrow open. Maybe he means it.
I think it's very possible that he means that. Yes.
Ambi is the greatest metal harmonica player in history. I mean, there can't have been a greater, like a more important metal harmonica player ever that, I mean, that I'm aware of. His slow, mournful harmonica in Perihelion is epic. It's such a, it's an important part of that song. And like, why, how is there a greatest metal harmonica player?
It's nice to have, in this world of uncertainty, it's nice to have a definitive best for anything. And I'm usually, you know, I usually don't like to claim that something is best. I don't like to use superlatives, but I think we're all clear. Best metal harmonica player ever from Australia.
Undoubtedly. I mean, I can say I've never known anyone better at avoiding superlatives than you. And next, they played Converge.
No drum solo here.
No drum solo. And but, and where's that confounded witchcraft?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, during this, Stu, you know, we love him. He couldn't keep his guitar on. He really likes gesturing during Converge. Like, he wants people to converge already. Do it. Converge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch his hands.
It's his version
and this was
of
weird.
Get together, everybody.
Because we usually hear witchcraft, so this was kind of like a dead stop, like a the converge just we converged and it ended,
and it turns out they were just building the suspense by playing the song playing Witchcraft without Converge later in the week.
Indeed they were. Following Converge was a 25 minute Am I in Heaven, which just did everything. I was like taking notes, and then I noticed on KGLW.net there was like a description, which I kind of like, and this is accurate, and I'm quoting here. Playful Am I in Brisbane lyrics changes and inspired jamming highlight this lengthy version. The band quietly build the song as they trickle teases in its calm intro before launching into the song proper. An extended section of mellow space unravels out of a dense frenetic jam that sees some of the band's freest playing all year before the song's final verses kick off more high-energy jamming with rapid-fire teases.
Wait, what?
It was a
I'm
lot.
Sorry.
And
I fell asleep in the middle of that. Where the hell did you find
that? Sorry. KGLW.net. So
oh,
if you
amazing.
Go on and if you see certain songs that are like highlighted a different color and in bold, it means they have like a little review about them.
Right. Well, that's so cool. It was beautiful.
And this was jammy as fuck, and I noticed some interesting stuff. Stu specifically led changes from 4-4 to 7-8 to 5-8. And I was like,
wow.
What's happening? And so Kaz is playing the drums, and it's just basically Stu playing guitar, and he's changing the time signatures until they finally kind of land on 5-8. And you'll hear that here. Interesting.
Wow, I see what you mean.
Ambrose on the lead sax.
Yeah, that's exactly the same note I wrote here. Did you get any information on who appears during this song on Joey's monitor?
No, on Joey's lyrics monitor appears some bogan wearing a Australian national cricket team kit. Large bearded man. I couldn't help myself. I gave it to an AI, the photo, and it said, "This is Cook Craig."
Oh,
and it most certainly is not. And I just burned down half of the Amazon trying to find out who it was.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah, he's a big dude. I'm thinking, is Australian rules cricket a thing? Yeah, I hear there's a lot more contact involved, and they don't even wear helmets. And he wasn't.
No, it must have been a famous player, a bowler, I think they call them. But bowler. He didn't look in competitive form in the photo.
Maybe he's retired. They retire young.
Am I in Heaven had a bunch of teases. Dripping Tap, Head on Pill, Sad Pilot. More heavy synth in the mix from Ambrose, which was great. This continued most of the tour.
Longest jam of the tour. I also wrote an extended description here. It says long intro jam, long middle jam, longest jam of the tour. So I should have submitted that.
The New York Times is regretting ever letting you go, man.
I tried so hard. I put forward my CV and I had spelled CV wrong. So they
S-E-A.
Sent it back. Seaweed. Fucking autocorrect. It's not my fault.
Am I in Heaven was followed by the Horology Suite featuring Backflip Guy.
As Stu said, our job's weird.
I've never seen Ambrose and Stu fall apart like this. So this guy comes on stage. He starts doing backflips. And he's kind of breakdancing too. He's doing some handstands.
Yep.
Ambrose, I've never seen him laugh this much. He was just, he was crying. Stu had to sit down during the song.
It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. It's not laugh.
I can't do it.
Don't stop.
It's something.
We're being so distracted by the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Fucking hell.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It's just the bentest thing I've ever seen.
Maybe we need to take five on the backflips. Just so we can get through this.
All right.
I'm crying.
Backflip Guy fucking came up in the hardest song.
Hey, we've done some weird shit in
Hey, Backflip
time.
Guy, you just stand over there for a second, then we'll call you back.
Thanks, the cake.
Get him a beer or something.
Give him a piece of tequila.
Let's get him real drunk.
And I think part of it is that, like, all the Horology Suite songs are very difficult, and it couldn't be done. They're also serious, and to have this guy performing behind them, the guy was awesome.
Are you sure? Because Joey said at this point that this song is about backflips.
The backflip guy.
Stu said it's also about Brisbane. So I don't see what's so serious about it. Yeah, I can't imagine how you play these songs already. This guy was awesome. Guy can really do some backflips.
He's a performer. It wasn't his only time on stage.
So glad he didn't split his eyebrow.
Yeah, might have been interesting. Yeah, okay, fine.
Where's the loyalty?
Where?
Mm-hmm. Followed by Horology, of course. Backflip guy is now their manager and personal assistant.
Mm-hmm. Good move, guys.
Where is all this going? One time they let a guy who could really play guitar get up on stage and play Stu's guitar, and then they let a child play guitar, and now they have let a guy do backflips on stage, and I anticipate with delight and fear where this is all going and what rabbit holes we're going to go down. Something's going to go. You can't do this. You can't just let any asshole get up on stage and do whatever their stupid thing is, right?
Let us not forget Evel Knievel from Lithuania.
That's true.
and I believe Ambrose was a little concerned. I think the guy was going to jump onto the crowd.
Right. Evel Knievel. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they rushed him off stage like Elvis before he could make that mistake. Good.
The next song, Stu says, is called Rattlesnake. Just kidding. Planet B, he says. Yeah.
Oh, poor little
what
crowd.
A dick.
Got excited.
This song's called Rattlesnake. Just kidding.
Personally, I prefer Planet B.
Yeah, probably, especially since Rattlesnake was played pretty recently, and they clearly weren't on their microtonals. I mean, not everyone should know that. I'm sorry.
It's true. Yeah, that's right, damn it, though. Followed by
Predator X. Now, I saw that someone said the lyrics were changed some of the times to Redditor X. I didn't hear that.
I listened for it and didn't hear it.
No. But they did say, you know, give it up for Jason Galea. And then Joey said, he'd love a chat after the show, which I think we all know is not true. It's pretty mean.
I think it's specifically not true. And I looked into Predator X. By the way, Predator X was the unofficial name given to Pleosaurus fungi, a large plesiosaurid reptile that lived over 100 million years ago during the Jurassic and Cretaceous periods. Its bite force at 33,000 pounds per square inch, which is at least as much as my 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. Very impressive.
And during Predator X, we now introduce a new segment, Stu's Feet and Meat Beat.
We love everyone very much.
Stu was Shoeless and Sockless by Predator X. We got to keep a firm view on Stu's feet from now on. That's Stu's Feet and Meat Beat.
I'm sorry. Is that M-E-A-T?
Stu's feet, meat, what they're made out of, beat, like a journalistic beat.
Stu's feet. Oh, I see. I thought you meant B-E-E-T. I've got it now.
No, maybe it should be. I'm open to, we need to workshop this.
Not at all. No, just, it just didn't come through the connections unstable.
I think feet meat,
unstable,
feet meat so is hyphened.
Read the chat. That makes sense. Now I understand. Yeah. Now I can see it's
Stu's
resolving.
Feet meat beat.
It's Zoom enhance.
We do have a friend that once received a sock from Stu. And he kept it, and he's, who knows, it's probably very crunchy by now.
Oh, yeah, you shouldn't wash it. Good, would you wash that? If you got one, would you wash it?
Yeah, I would. I would wash it. The fuck, man?
I mean, I want to point out that you thought about it.
Of course, I think about things.
You know what you ought to let Ambi do at this point?
Let him in the past.
For God's sake, people.
this was cool because, and Ambrose was a little surprised to see Stu stay on guitar and not go over to the keyboard as he usually does. Ambrose was skeptical of this, I think.
You're going to hit the guitar? All right, cool. Sweet.
Is that cool with you, Ambi?
All right, I like it. Let's see what happens.
Stu will be friends with me?
No, I think it'll be better.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Flowers for me? I do declare. One for backflip, man. One for backflip, man.
Next one.
Do we hear that sound here?
Yes.
Talking about them polar bears, Cookie?
Oh, yeah.
That means it's time for Cookie Watch. Cookie Watch is, of course, a registered trademark of Kraft Nabisco, a wholly owned subsidiary of Mondelez International. It's a snacking powerhouse based in Chicago, Illinois, United States.
Now, in my opinion, when you put a line, a diacritic over an E, at least in the... what is it? The American phonetic alphabet? Doesn't that make a long E sound, which should be Mondelez?
I didn't put it there, man.
But to honor the fine Swedish people of Chicago? Why? I don't know why. Who the fuck do they think they are?
God put the diacritic there.
Yeah, that's true. Did Cookie play a guitar solo on this song?
Did Cookie play a guitar solo?
He does on this song. Has he been playing guitar solos on this song all along? And we didn't realize? Did God put the guitar solo there?
For as long as we've known Cookie, we've wondered if he's going to get a guitar solo. And I think this is an important conversation because is it a guitar solo if it's composed, if it's the same thing in every song? I guess so.
I think, of course, it is. Have we, like, heard many Cookie guitar solos and just never thought about it or paid attention to it before? Are there others that we've heard regularly and we're not thinking about?
I think the problem is, especially during Let Me Mend the Past, the cameras are obviously trained on Ambrose doing whatever the fuck he's doing, and we don't get to see. Is Cookie playing that little Let Me Mend the Past solo? So we need to pay attention. I think, can we attach like a comment or a request when we send money to Heaps Keen?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Yes, I think you can.
Okay, well, in the notes for this episode, there's a link to give money to our beautiful streamers and send them money. And oh my God, there's not another show for 6 to 8 months. Fuck. What are we going to do?
Oh, I'm sure that they accept money in between. But yeah, you've got a point. We just have to remember. Let me just take a note. I'm going to write this down on this piece of paper. I'm going to crumple it and then I'm burning it now. And I'm saying a prayer over it that mm-hmm. I'll remember in 6 to 8 months mm-hmm. That I had something to remember. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we won't forget something in 6 to 8 months.
Mm-mm, mm-mm. For those not watching the video stream, the captain is inhaling the smoke from the note. And he's coughing. And okay. He won't forget that.
I'm good. Okay, cool. Next, some chat about cricket players.
Yeah, bogan banter. I don't know what they're talking about.
Fuck yeah, dude. Sounds
how
great.
How dope was that?
Sounds amazing, bro.
It was sick.
I just wish Shane Warne was still with us.
Melbourne's pride and joy.
Yeah, I used to come to Gizzard shows.
Springvale. Definitely yeah, me and Warne used to smash cones.
In Bali.
Bali.
In saunas.
Seminyak. All right. This one's... So it's called Antarctica.
Speaking, yeah.
I don't think Joey wants us to know. Stu tried to drill down further with Ambie on the topic of cricket players, and Joe strongly discouraged Stu from encouraging Ambie in further discussing cricket players. So I personally think we should spend more time on this.
Ambrose did say he was named after a cricket player.
That's right. Ambrose McGillicuddy.
Mm-hmm. That's the one. My favorite bowler.
Bowler. I always thought it was baller. No, I thought it was bowler. Mm.
Antarctica was cool, had a interesting slow jam, and then it kind of just ended.
Some hot water teases. And,
funny for Antarctica, isn't it?
Isn't it? not at home in Antarctica. And then the return of the BFG for Hog Calling Contest.
The backflip guy. BFG's Joey's favorite book, I guess. Yeah, backflip guy came up and started doing backflips, and we got some squealing from Joe Santarpia, the monitor engineer.
That's right.
You have a favorite B741 song that's played live? I was thinking about that too.
Oh, that's an interesting... I don't know. I weirdly like Antarctica. I like the party vibe of La Risque. I mean... there are a lot of these songs that I like a lot. I don't know that La Risque is necessarily my favorite song. It's a little bit like overplayed for me because I've watched the video too many times because it's such a fun video. So, but I just, I have such a good time with that song. I love this fucking album so much. Mm-hmm. They reference it as Dad Rock at the later rock show. And I am a Dad Rock. So, I don't know. I love this album. I couldn't pick a single favorite.
I don't know that I could either. I like what they did with Daily Blues as the intermission song a couple weeks ago at the Sydney Opera House. I think that was. Was that Sydney? Yes, it was Daily Blues. Yeah, at Sydney, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I have a weird weakness for Sad Pilot.
Mm.
I don't know
why. You want me to play it on guitar? I learned how to play it on guitar.
Really? Oh, that's nice.
Can I play it? You want me to play it? I'll do it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do that.
No, you should. I don't know, but not for any clear reason. It just hangs together for me some beautiful way. I don't know, leaving my problems at the jet bridge. It's just, it's beautiful. I don't know. It's just like a perfect lyric, and raw feel is amazing. No, I couldn't pick a fucking favorite song on that album. I love that album so much.
Raw feel is amazing.
Fuck.
It's very good dad rock. Yep.
Yeah.
I also... I'm a rock and I dad.
Yeah,
we I dad do. Hard.
Yeah, you fucking we dad do. Hard.
Hog Calling Contest was followed by Gamma Knife.
We try really hard to be a professional band.
This guy is just obsessed with techno now and doesn't care about guitars.
Fuck this rock music shit. rock music's cool.
All right, this song's called Gamma Knife!
Joey had to ask the BFG to leave stage. That guy, the backflip guy took his shirt off. He wasn't going to leave.
No. I'm glad he stopped at his shirt. There's no telling where things were going from there.
Did you catch Ambrose saying, these guys are obsessed with techno now?
No. It's true, though. No, I didn't catch him saying that. But he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
And nice Motor Spirit quotes in
cool.
Gamma Knife.
Motor Spirit inside a Gamma Knife is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Super hot.
Gamma Knife, Thankfully, we all love it, Led to People Vultures, which is actually, the show ended with kind of a bang, which is not always the case. Something I've been, I don't know, critical of is how they end shows sometimes where it just fades out. But I like a good crescendo.
I had flashbacks to the opening of Field of Vision because there was like a big space extended jam in People Vultures at the opening night of Field of Vision that struck me as Stu making space. I just remember having this feeling of them slowing down to jam in People Vultures that at the time I thought, well, fuck, we've got 9 hours. You know, these guys got to settle in and make some space. But it felt very similar to that sound to me here at the final song of the night.
Yeah, it was patient. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they weren't done with Brisbane. They were done with Brisbane rock shows. But then there were two Brisbane orchestra shows.
Yeah, I had a hard time figuring out how the hell you fit an orchestra on this stage. There's some little bits of video and the math doesn't math right.
Yeah, I've seen some of this video. This is the Princess Theater. And it was so small that Cavs was scooched up by Cookie. Interesting. Princess Theater, that's why it's called that, not the Queen Theater, perhaps, because it's
not
a tiny one.
That's right.
December 9th, the intermission song was Head on a Pill. Hell yeah.
Indeed, hell yeah.
There's some video of that in the linked from this episode's notes.
Yeah, I like Stu's Land Before Timeland jam. Feels very Jerry noodling to me, very like Jerry Garcia noodling from the intermission jam before they go into Head on Pill. And I love the crowd singing along with the opening lick. And maybe it's just because the only filming we had was from the crowd, but it was just really beautiful to hear the whole crowd singing do 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 do. It just made me very happy, and ate the wrong harmonies coming out nicely with the crowd singing along. I thought it was really sweet for an Australian crowd to love, especially older Giz classics, and felt like a special coming home.
And the next night, the intermission song was Ice Five, and it was actually the longest rock Ice Five ever. The Nathan one of them might be longer, but this was the longest traditional Ice Five ever, and it was fucking awesome. It was groovy and chill, and it rocked super hard.
Yeah. I apologize. I had this note written down in the wrong place, I see. What is the capacity of the Princess Theater?
I didn't look.
I've got it at like fucking 900. So again, the orchestra being on stage nearly outnumbers the crowd. The venue, I believe, built or established in 1888. This is a peculiar spot indeed for a Giz show, and even stranger for an orchestra show. So no wonder they looked so crowded up there. I've got a drip for this.
Ooh, nice. And yeah, I see 900. 900?
Yeah, dude.
What?
I hope they sold out. Stu's wearing jeans and a denim vest, and the denim vest has some sort of like cloth patterned inlay from the top half up, and I've never seen this outfit, and it was fucking awesome. He just looked like a hippie cowboy rocker, and I for one support him heading in any direction he wants to.
I gotta see some. How did I not catch this? Okay, I'm gonna go back and look. This sounds awesome.
It's awesome. He looks amazing.
They then headed back home two nights later to do an orchestra show in Melbourne. I haven't found really good footage of this one for some reason.
No.
The intermission song was Robot Stop.
It was. From the intermission jam, they're transitioning into hot water teases into a sort of Robot Stop jam into Robot Stop in earnest.
Have you found a good video of this?
Good is going far. No, it's not great. There's one guy, I think it's the same guy, who filmed all three of these intermission jams, and only the intermission jams. You can find them online under
the show notes for this episode.
And God bless the man, Drake Warren, did his best to put up some fairly janky videos of just the intermission jam. But I'll take what I can get from each of these orchestra shows.
Thank you, Dr. Warren.
Thank you, Dr. Warren.
And then another rock show, the last show of the tour. The last show for a while. This was at the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl. I don't know, man, if you should name a venue Sydney in Melbourne. Like, it's just going to confuse the professor.
That's right. Not to be confused with the Melbourne Flyer Music Bowl in Sydney. Yeah. Right. Last show for a while. I mean, we could talk about that at any point, but the guys mention it quite a few times here. Might be their last show for a little while, says Joey. Ambie says ever, which I assume is not true. Ambie says for 6 to 8 months.
He said,
did you check the math on that?
He does say that. And yeah. And my headline for the show is, and I got to put it in quotes, Giz leaves it all out on the pitch in its last concert for 6 to 8 months. Fuck, damn it. Okay, I'm fine. End quote. Six, 8 months is almost August. There have been rumors about that seventh show that we talked about in the U.S.
Right.
That there's a festival, but there's a show in San Francisco with a bunch of bands that the rumor is Giz might be playing at sometime in August, I think. Weird to have that confirmed. They played Australia just now. They did Europe. They did U.S., I still think there's a chance for South America or possibly Japan.
Oh, wow. It hadn't even occurred to me, really, when they released the American tour dates that was going to be the next show, really. I just thought they were limited in the States. But that's awesome if they want to take time off to record music, especially. It's awesome if they want to take time off to look at their families for a second. But I hope, personally, they get a chance to record music. And I love my family very much and also like having things to do during the day, as my family does. Children go to school and wives have other activities. So it seems like they go in to check in at the office, put on their suit and drink their cupper on the way to the studio in the morning when they're hanging around in Melbourne. I had a similar headline. Giz makes love in the ear holes to a hometown crowd, mostly standing still for the last show for 6 to 8 months.
hometown crowds. Like, we've seen these boys grow up and they're nothing special. Yeah, I did notice some inactivity.
I don't know if it was just a vibe. It felt like I actually tried to look up, is there like a name for the like sort of like soft, like swaying emo dance, like a kind of like a wallflowery sway or something?
Well, you know, there were seats at this venue. Like, this was a kind of a what we might call a shed in the U.S., which is a pavilion with a seated area under the pavilion and then a lawn. 10,000, so not huge. But the pavilion area had seats, which might make it difficult to do what people normally do at Giz shows.
I think you get up near 20 with the lawn, was my understanding. But I could be wrong about that. I did look into that as well. So, yeah, maybe that's a huge factor. It seems like it would be hard to dance hard in seats. So, yeah, that would help explain it a little bit. I thought maybe it was just a dance called the Melbourne, where you just sort of sway slowly back and forth in place.
Like the gum trees of Australia.
I'd be.
We had some pre-roll here.
I miss them so much. Yes, we did.
do you miss the gum? The sweet smell?
I do. must admit.
Boy, big spoilers in the pre-roll. Ambrose alone in a dressing room practicing the keyboard parts to empty.
Uh-huh. Like a little cute little like Casio.
While playing along to empty on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Stu singing empty in the dressing room. You guys, if really the spoiler people, I mean, I get it and I try to be careful, but they also practice Altered Beast in the pre-roll.
Mm-hmm. They did. So, Stu singing Am I in Heaven, though, which is I often confuse with Empty because they're on the same album and share motifs. So when people say it's an Am I in Heaven tease, you don't know it's not an empty tease.
Mm-hmm.
Cav's doing something that really upsets me on the pre-roll, which is playing the knife game.
Yes, he was.
Please don't do that.
La Risk.
Yeah, I know.
The knife game being you put one hand flat on a table, spread your fingers, stab a knife between your fingers. Those fingers are important. You're right. He shouldn't be messing with.
I really need those fingers. I wish he wouldn't do that. Please don't do that.
Hey, there's rock bands that have one-arm drummers. He'll manage.
Multiple? I mean, there must be, I guess. I can only think of one.
My band doesn't have any drummer. I don't even have a band.
He doesn't even have legs, arms, a face. Ladies and gentlemen, the drummer Faceless with no drummer. Face.
Did you have a drip for this, Joe?
I mean, obviously we have the same drip for this. There's no way we're not both talking about Joey's shirt, right?
What the fuck was that?
I don't know.
Let me try to explain.
Okay. I'm excited to hear you try to explain it. I also will try to explain it, and I promise to stick to the description that I've written even after you give whatever description you give.
Okay. Joey was wearing a sleeveless satin blouse. With many patterns and textures, some plaid, some, I don't know, spirals. I don't understand.
Drip of the day, Joey's shirt. I can't even figure out how to describe it. High fashion abstract with lower plaid flannel pattern. Is how I described it. It's a similar
high fashion animal pattern.
I didn't say animal. Abstract, high fashion. Oh. I don't think I'm not aware of any animals whose hide is marked in quite that way. But I'd like to
maybe
meet one.
A Joey or an altered beast, perhaps.
Once you alter a beast, they could have nearly any pattern you want.
The show opened with Field of Vision. And this is when we first got confirmation. Joey said this might be the last Gizzard show for a long time, says Joey.
Yes, until Field of Vision. So I don't know. Right. Interesting to say that and then play Field of Vision.
I didn't even put that together. Yeah. Gosh. Field of Vision led into Altered Beasts 1, 2, and 4.
As it doesn't ever do.
You know what? When I am...
Not a common pairing.
No. Very strange. You know, we've talked about, can they play, you know, B741 songs just one at a time and then go into another song? Or can they do metal sections twice in a show? We got some answers.
Yes.
And I woke up on the west coast of the U.S. and saw this set list for this show. And I was like, oh, my God, this looks amazing. Field of Vision into Altered Beast. Yeah. which has 9/8 and 11/16 time signatures.
Yeah.
like the loping gait of an altered beast, perhaps.
They do lope.
Did you know Stu is the closest I've ever seen Stu to having a beard in this show?
Yeah. It just seems like he's not taking care of his personal hygiene at the moment, which is interesting because presumably by now he's seen his wife. And you expect maybe on the tour, a man lets himself go and then he gets home and the wife says, shave that thing. But not in Stu's case.
I got to tell you that Stu and I have that in common. When I'm at home is when I'm, you know, not looking my best. Sorry, wife.
Poor dear.
I don't look good when I'm not at home either, but when I'm at home, it's worse.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying Stu looked bad. He's a very dreamy young man, but rugged. He looked rugged.
Altered Beast 4 had hypertension quotes, which, you know, was a very brief foreshadowing of the next song, which was a 16 and a half minute hypertension, which will blow your mind grapes.
God, it's so good. The double soloing together on Hypertension is some of the best shit in the universe. I mean, it's a duet, but it's like two solos. It's not, I don't think you can call it guitar minis or whatever the kids call it, because they're sort of playing different melodies on top of each other, and holy shit. It's so beautiful. And I love to see Stu play complicated patterns, and you don't always notice it. I think that you notice it more from Joey. And so it's cool to see them doing it at the same time. And brought me back around to say, in my mind, what I don't know that we've mentioned enough out loud in this discussion we've had. I don't know fucking what the fuck Cookie's doing most of the time. I just have no idea. And so I'm looking at Stu playing these little licks and Joey playing these little licks side by side. And then the camera pans past Cookie and he's definitely holding a guitar and his fingers are moving. And there's a wire coming out of it. and I'd love to know more about that at some point.
You know, the stems might help answer that question. Are they labeled properly? Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That's cool. That would be a cool place to investigate. I wonder more about it just seems like secret sauce or something. It's part of the giz sound is you take this element and this element and this element and then you just like pour some Cookie over it.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Hypertension was just so a peak. I mean, even Ambrose said it after that was peaking. Stu was sweat was flying off of his head while he was shaking his head rhythmically back and forth.
Yeah.
Do sweat flying everywhere.
This might have been my highlight, but I realize now that's not what I wrote as my highlight, but I've been operating at peculiar hours this week, and so my highlight I seem to have put someplace else. But that section I recall now was as happy as I get as a man.
No, I'm so sorry.
No, it's great. I'm satisfied with that being the way that I is.
And see, and now we went back to a B741 song, Raw Feel. I noticed another unidentifiable white dude on Joey's lyrics monitor.
Oh, really? I missed this one.
Yeah. I couldn't tell who it was. Some dude with short hair.
Must have been Raw Feel.
That's right. It might have been Raw Feel. This was printed on the band's... Raw Feel was printed on the band's set list as Raw Phil, P-H-I-L. I like the song. You know, I do.
Yeah, I know.
I like the lyrics.
I do too. It's beautiful. Yeah.
What? And now I remember my lyrics of the episode. What does the sunlight feel like on your skin? Does it smell like the sound of a pill kicking in?
Thank you for asking. And it doesn't. It doesn't.
Ah, that kind of depends on the pill for me, I guess.
That doesn't happen to. I mean, I do feel it, and I can hear that other smell as well, but it's different.
I love everyone singing on B741 and Phantom Island. I love that. And I don't think it's going to continue, but it's a nice thing that they did that.
Yeah, beautiful. I think even hearing them pigeonhole it as dad rock, which Stu says later, in fact, shows you that even they have it pigeonholed in a little slot. It would just be rock music. I know I've heard people call it dad rock before, and I guess I am officially old enough now that I find it harder to categorize, especially B741, as a musical style, which probably shows that I'm in denial in just calling it rock. And of course, it is a fairly distinctive musical style. It's just that I listen to so much of that shit that I just call that like normal rock in my mind.
They call it classic rock, in fact. But in the context of Giz, it's dad rock. And I think you're right. Like the act of labeling it for them tells us that their thought process, like, this is a thing we're doing right now, and we're probably not going to do it forever. But it's a thing, and we get it. It's great. This was followed by what was printed on the set list as Muddy Boogie and Bitter Water.
Yeah, it was. And a special request to an audience member from Joey. Sue Quinn's got a boogie on this one, meaning that Joey's mom,
his mom
was there. Must have been there. How nice.
Do you think she made the shirt?
I don't know. It seemed like a very sophisticated fucking shirt. I mean, like, we're talking about like walking down the catwalk in one of these shirts. Could be worn by a man, a woman, a cat. It was really a magnificent. So if so, she's quite talented. And I am not personally ready to wear it one, but it's quite an art piece.
Takes a lot of confidence.
For both of them, for everyone, for all, just to talk about it.
Yeah, it took a lot of preparation for me to even talk about it today. And thank you for listening.
Can we cut this part out?
No, what's in the show is in the show.
Okay. We're just going to let it out there.
Thank you. Thank you for telling such a vulnerable story.
In the Bitter Water part of Muddy Boogie Bitter Water, I felt like Cavs was like making the band chase his speed changes a little bit. It seemed like he was speeding up and slowing down, and it seems fun if you're that good at tennis which I'm not, to chase your best drummer in the world around through a song.
There was actually a lot of tempo changes in this show. Yeah. There's more coming up. Muddy Water into Bitter Boogie. Usually Bitter Boogie comes without warning, but not this time.
We knew.
They kind of telegraphed it.
By poor little pilot.
Poor rad pilot.
Rad old pilot.
Set list.
Yeah, rad pilot.
treat me like you'd like to be treated. Yeah, it's a good song.
Yeah, it's such a sweet album. I don't know why I love the song so much, but I do. It was followed by, the last of the dad rock, as I believe Joey said, dad rock section completed. And Stu said, actually, not yet. And Joey said this doesn't count because this dad's on Rack. This dad's on Ket. What do you think Rack is?
Dad's on Rack.
Dad's on Rack. Dad's on Rack. Dad's on Rack.
I don't know. I certainly know what Dad's on Ket is.
I do. I read about it in a book once. But my investigations on the internet first suggested that Rack in Australian slang means to steal something. So that doesn't seem right, like the right answer as a verb. I think maybe it's coke. It seems like it can refer to cocaine.
They did say this is Vegas. Dad's in Vegas or something.
Yeah, Vegas has a real cocaine vibe to me.
Yeah. And let me tell you, I've been to Vegas.
I've been to Vegas. Yeah. And anyway, I love the song. I just love the vibe. I love the party. It's always such a good party. Oh, and speaking of the party... Dude, Gaspard fucking crushed it.
Gary.
Gary was amazing.
Right, we're going to get on.
Give it up for Gary.
Give it up for Gary. He's the best.
Gaspard!
Yes, the best kind you'll ever know. But he's going to fill in for Michael while he goes up the very, very back.
One of the finest drum techs.
He's from Belgium.
He's actually from Belgium.
He loves chocolate and croissants.
And frites and mayonnaise.
Are you ready, Gary?
And cheesecake, gobble gobble cheesecake.
Are you ready, Gary?
Gaspard!
Don't fuck up.
All right.
So they brought out their guitar tech, Gaspard, who we've seen many, many times on stage. And I didn't know he could play drums because I don't know anything literally about him at all. So that's one more thing I didn't know about him. But quite fucking passable. I mean, he was playing fills and I was goddamn impressed, Gary. And I want to make a special thanks to
it was almost perfect.
Breakdancing School. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Gaspard did a great job. Is he the drum tech also? Or is he just guitar? Because I figured he was drum because how else would he be so good at it?
That's right. I also wondered that same thing, quite literally, but I don't know the answer.
Well, we also learned that he's from Belgium and he loves chocolate and croissants and frites and mayonnaise.
He did. He said frites and mayonnaise, which I also prefer. I don't really like ketchup.
Did you catch before the Evel Knievel segment that Ambrose and Cav kissed on the lips? And right before that, Ambrose made this upsetting sound.
Yes! Are you ready, brother?
Yeah, suck it to me.
it was so beautiful.
I think Joey was actually in the way of the Joey was in the way of the camera, the stream. But then I saw a clip. I was like, did they just kiss on the lips? And I saw footage of someone's phone, and they certainly did.
That's wonderful. Yeah, it's beautiful.
After Lariska's trapdoor, you know, half the time Stu plays flute, it's almost percussive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very interesting. It's also during trapdoor that...
Toot, toot.
How you little dudes?
I could do that, but what I couldn't do is stand on stage like Stu with one strap of my overalls undone.
I would never imagine. Of all the people I know, you're the last I would expect to do that.
You might be right. And you've seen me in overalls, but I had those both hooked. I had all the straps hooked.
I guess I have. It's been a little while.
Of course you have. Another flute song followed, Empty.
Another flute song. I've come to love this song very much.
Yes, absolutely. What is it in 6/8, maybe?
What is it that's in 6/8? Oh, Empty's in 6/8.
This was a song, so they busted out for the first time in, 11 years at Field of Vision. And then this is the second time they played it. First time they played it since Field of Vision. And do we remember that Stu told a friend of ours that he thought it was sloppy at Field of Vision? And I wonder how we felt about this version.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I loved it. I didn't think it was sloppy the first time either, though.
It's hard to tell with King Gizzard what sloppy is. It's kind of part of the sound.
Yeah, right. Sloppy is toot, it sloppy toot. Does. Toot, toot, toot.
Yeah, Empty was followed by another oldie.
Mm-hmm. Hot Facts.
Hot Wax.
Printed on the set list as Hot Facts.
Uh-huh. This one really sped up. I don't know if Kaz was driving this speed up or not, but it sped up with Ambrose making sounds and singing and adjusting his guitar pedals on the floor for his microphone.
Oh, God. He has a table. A table.
He has a couple.
He has a couple tables. Stu doesn't have a table. Joey doesn't have a table. Cookie has a table. There's so much you could put up there. I don't see Cookie down there touching things on the ground.
Ambrose's tables are for drinks only.
That's nice.
Careful, man. Yeah. There's a beverage here.
You don't want to spill your drinks. Aren't you more likely to spill your drinks on your pedals if the pedals are under your drink table?
Oh, you're forgetting about the Coriolis effect.
It's because they're on the other side of the continent. They're
a few
hundred Venusian miles
one.
North.
Now they entered in the into the metal. Stu said before starting the metal section, these songs aren't funny anymore.
I didn't catch that. What the fuck does that mean?
Well, that they were starting their metal section from like Hot Wax to the new one.
I see. Okay. It's not a greater commentary about life in the modern world. When we wrote these songs, they were just a joke. Now we probably should get off this fucking planet.
Oh. Venusian wine, followed by Witchcraft, with the kind of cold start, which you just don't get because we're used to hearing it come out of Converge.
Well, they played Converge not that many nights earlier, so I think this was just all a part of that suite, including the orchestra shows in between.
You know, they did not change guitars from Empty, Hot Wax to Venusian One and Witchcraft. They just retuned, which is interesting.
It is interesting. I put a note here that this was when I was finally ready to admit that the crowd seemed subdued as fuck. And now you've got me convinced that the chairs are a big part of that, and that's nice to hear. I find that somewhat reassuring, but it's just, yeah, it's just a different vibe. It's true there was moshing and crowd surfing, but it did seem less of that. There was some kind of a, it couldn't have been chairs everywhere because there was some like circle pitting, which I don't think you can do in chairs.
No, so, I think you're right. I can't remember. It was during a song I wasn't expecting, it was like during Sad Pilot or La Risk.
I saw some during the metal section also. And not, you know, I don't know. I just seemed like a very different vibe. Like I didn't recognize the movement of this crowd the same way that I might recognize a home crowd's movement.
We got another Perihelion after Witchcraft.
I'll
two rock shows in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We love everyone very much.
And another Stu's feet meat beat at this point. I didn't see him take it off, but Stu during Perihelion had just one sock on and nothing else on his feet.
I know I just asked you this. It's M-E-A-T. What does that mean? Stu, it meets the, or is it M-E-E-T? Like it's meeting, like, hello, Stu's feet meat beat. Or is it, or like, I mean, they are made out of meat. I don't have it. I mean, we should stick with it, but I still don't understand. I support it. Meat, Stu's feet.
What you need to know.
Stu's
feet meat beat.
Feet meat beat. Is that in the imperative? Followed by, go ahead.
This is an audio medium. All you need to know is that there's no diacritic.
Right. And the viewers at home can't see that you've drawn me a diagram, but I'm still not getting it. Mota. Next song.
Spirit.
Stu thanks a fan for giving him a hat, but it didn't stay on his head for more than about 7 seconds before he headbanged it right the fuck off in a ferocious motor spirit.
Couldn't even see what it said. It was just a black baseball hat. Stu did open the song by saying, this song's about cars. Thank you.
He did. I loved it. Yeah. Is Ambi the world's greatest metal conga player?
God. There could be more competition for that, but I'm not sure.
Anyway, I'd like to see more metal congas in the world.
No, it's not a metal conga.
No, metal.
Are you saying metal with an E?
Metal.
This was the first ever Motor Spirit sandwich.
Yes. All right. A la very like Gaia arrangement of Motor Spirit.
Yeah. The first, I mean, you could say the first time Motor Spirit has been played twice in a show, technically.
All right. I'm willing to technify that with a comment that it seems to me like one song. But yes, it's a metal sandwich, metal sandwich. With a big fat a heel monster sandwich. It's unpleasant. I caught one of those once with tongs and put it in a cooler. A heel monster, not the mythical beast of ancient lore kind, but the orange and black kind. And I would not want that fucking thing between two slices of bread, I'll tell you.
Maybe. I don't know. We used to live in a place where maybe one of the only places in the world where Gila monsters existed. And there was a park ranger came and told us like how to deal with some of the wildlife. And he said, you know, Gila monsters are small, but if they get a grip on you, like if they get a grip on your arm, don't try to jerk them off.
No, because then they just follow you for life.
They're cool. They're very rare to see. Yeah, but they're really neat.
Everywhere else.
Motor Spirit, Gila Monster, Motor Spirit. Going back in the Motor Spirit with shots and nice cheers, cunts, from Joey.
And that right last part of the tour, we had that slow, gnarly, slow jam into the what would normally be the reprise of Motor Spirit. And to see that not just gifted back to us again, but almost like introduced as a new technique, the sort of I am Gaia of a Motor Spirit sandwich to come back from another song with this super slow riff that I loved so much from the last time we heard it. I hope this is a new thing to come because I loved it and wrote it down as
real
my highlight.
Nasty.
Cheers, cunts. This has been really special.
Ambrose came over and embraced Stu while they sang together. Very sweet.
Yeah, and
and the whole band did a big group hug at the end. And yeah, Ambrose had the last show for 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, that was the end of the show. They all huggy faced and got in a pile. And in fact, Lucas, the biggest of them, jumped up on top of them. And they all took it like champs. And then Ambie, who's not the biggest of them, though a big man, jumped on top of them and safely bounced right off. And and yeah, it could be a while. I feel some optimism about it. I think they're going to produce. Sorry they're not playing more for a little while for my own needs, but I suspect that we will benefit from it.
Yeah, looks like we picked the wrong year to start a King Gizzard concert podcast.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Luckily, there's a ton of material. And like you said, we're putting Heaps King's link in the show notes so that you can buy coffee for the team that's doing the streaming, because they've put up so much material. It's extraordinary that we have this wealth of information to pull from. And so we have plenty of content anytime to enjoy. We're such lucky duckies that we have this vast catalog to peruse and get to watch. I just love watching these shows.
Yes, and I plan to peruse myself more, and you should peruse with me, because what I'd like to do in our next episode is a 2025 recap. I think a lot happened this year. Shows, album, orchestra, rave, rock, several continents.
Yeah, it's been wild. They have sure done a lot of fucking things this year. And being a band that is famous for putting out a lot of albums more than one time in a year, it would be easy to think this was not a year like that, but I don't think that stands up to the record. But we can talk more about it. And
Yes, we should.
We will. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Do you have some Omnium Gatherum?
I do. The movie, this is Spinal Tap from 1984. We lost a legend yesterday. Rob Reiner, director, actor, writer. Man, he had a, I think, a big influence on me and maybe American culture. Spinal Tap, Stand By Me, When Harry Met Sally, A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
And of course, All in the Family, the TV show, which I never watched, but I think was a big influence on folks of a older generation.
Yeah, Meathead. And yeah, tragic. Yeah, I don't understand what the fuck happened. I'm traveling right now and I just saw the news in passing and it's super sad.
This is Spinal Tap is one of my favorite movies. And Rob Reiner is in it as Marty DeBerge, a documentary director. There's a lot of movies from the early 80s that don't really hold up well. In late 70s, I like Animal House doesn't work for me anymore, but Spinal Tap is magnificent still.
Yeah, 1,000%. I can still watch it a lot and watch the same scenes that I've seen a lot of times. And like with The Simpsons, I can hang out with Harry Shearer again and again. My Omnium Gatherum is just, as the professor mentioned, I'm in Japan in my totally uninteresting professional life. It's funny, I don't necessarily want my professional life to know about this podcast, and so I use a pseudonym. But if you were to hunt the other
way... Wait, hold on a second. What?
I think it's better if you don't know, Professor.
Shipwreck. I thought your family changed that name at Ellis Island from Shippenberg to Shipwreck.
Yeah, we were the Shippenbergs, and one branch changed to Shipwreck and the other to Shipwrack. And if you ever did crack the code and find out who I really am, you'd be intensely uninterested. But
I don't think that's true.
But I was just noticing my popularity in my field, in my sub field operating here in Japan, and how much more well known I am here versus where I operate at home. No one knows or gives a fuck who the hell I am or what I do. But then when I travel to other places, suddenly it seems like people are very aware of my work and there's quite a scene around it. And it just really reminded me a lot of watching Giz move through these little venues in Australia. A really fascinating parallel for me being here. And by the way, Japan is just fucking awesome. And I've never been here before. And what a cool fucking place to be. I'm eating so much food and I love most of it. I'm not big on tentacles personally, but most of the things that don't have tentacles, I'm really enjoying.
For eating or other things? What?
No, other things. I really like it. For example, most of the toilets here use tentacles to clean your ass, and I'm for that.
I've seen that. I've seen those animes.
It's I think they call it sporkyblets, hindton. And anyway, this place kicks ass, and I'm very happy here, and I recommend it to everybody.
That's it. 2025, the year. So Giz is done touring, finished our Australian tour. We're going to catch up with you about the whole fucking year. And then after this, I don't know what, but we made this podcast because we wanted to listen to something like this. And so we will just keep making things that we would want to listen to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I like listening to things with my friends. And I think about that, you know, the movie podcasts that I like. I get excited watching a movie because my friends on the podcast are going to talk about a movie. And so we can talk about shows and you can go and listen along. And if you don't go and listen to the show or don't go and listen to us, fucking good on you. But I want to, and you can't stop me.
And Our email address is in the show notes.
Ah, oh, you bastard.
I'm sorry. I did it.
Okay. Okay. No.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, friends. Bye-bye.
Cheers, cunts.
Thank you very much for your cooperation.
That was fucking